Before I speak, I want to say a few words, which is an English translation of the much richer Yiddish. Before I speak, a few words. Which, ironically, is what the Mesillas Yesharim actually does. It's not just a cop-out. Before we get started, here's a few words to say. Because the Mesillas Yesharim has a system, he told us where he's going, and then he takes a break and says, I have something else to tell you first. We're about to start the first parak of Mesillas Yesharim. He had given us a highly organized introduction. He had introduced to us the need for the Sefer, the value of actually studying Avos Hashem seriously. There's so much to understand and so much to know. Every decent person has the basics of Midos Tovos, of reaching out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yiras Hashem. Yeah, we all have the basics, but if you actually want to do a good job of it, there's a lot to study, to really understand what these things mean in detail, and how to actually, the big difference between, believing that I ought to have Midos Tovos and actually having the Midos Tovos. There's so much to study, so much to learn. We're going to have to really roll up our sleeves and work hard in the field of Avodas Hashem ology. That had been the major theme of the Hakdama. This is a really rigorous discipline. And then he had closed with a pair of lists. He closed the Hakdama by saying, number one, we've got to define what is Avos Hashem, if we're going to study this seriously. It said, list number one, Psukim in Parshas Ekev, the five elements of Avos Hashem. We spent some time looking, savoring the way in which Ramchal gives us sort of like a thumbnail portrait, a basic definition of what's Yiras Hashem, and what's Halicha Bedrachav, Midos Tovos, Avos Hashem, Avodah B'chal Lev. But then he had said, this is certainly true, and it's certainly key. These are the definitions of the five basic elements of Avos Hashem, but it's not practical. These are the five lanes, the five aspects of the finish line. This is what I'm trying to grow into. But how to actually get there, the step-by-step, this Sefer, this Mesillas Yesharim is meant to be not just an abstract work of a philosophy. This is meant to be a practical guidebook, a how-to guide to growth. So he says, the way we're going to organize the Sefer is the second list. Is not the list in Chumash, but the list that Chazal give us in Maseches Avodah Zarah, that step A leads to step B, and step B leads to step C. Zehirus will bring you to Zrizus, and Zrizus will bring you to Nikias. He says, that's what we need. That's the organization that we're going to use to build the Sefer. It'll give me what's step one, we'll talk about step two, we'll talk about step three, and each time we'll give the basic definition of step one and then unpack it in detail, talk about tools I can use to actually acquire that, and finally, in key, what are the pitfalls to avoid. He says, that's how I'm going to organize my Sefer. Sounds great. Great introduction. Now we're going to have a practical Sefer. The problem is, as I said before, that before he speaks, he has a few words to say. You would have expected that Perek Aleph would be, let's start talking about step one, let's start talking about Zehirus. But if you look in the table of contents, that's Perek Beis. Prakim Beis, Gimel, Dal, and Hey are working through step one, Zehirus. Prakim Vav, Zayin, Ches, Tes, that's working through the next step. Zerizus, and then Nikias. But Perek Aleph are the few words he wants to say before he starts speaking. And these few words, there's one more preliminary, and it's actually really important. It's before we can get started with sort of the step-by-step work of Zehirus and Zerizus and so on and so forth. He says we first need to ask some, before we get down to details, we need to lay the foundation. Before we build the first floor of the building, the second floor of the building, the third floor of the building, we got to lay the foundation. Take a look, please, in Perek Aleph. It's all about foundations. And the opening line is quite explicit. this opening line, the first line of Perek Aleph, what do we need to know, or what are the questions we need to think about before we can actually start the step-by-step? What's the foundation of everything? And this, I think there are many holy Jews over the last couple of centuries who have committed at least this first sentence to memory. Yesod HaChasidus, V'shoresh HaAvodah HaTamima, the foundation of Chasidus, as we've seen in the past, and we'll see again and again, Chasidus at its core, the way Chazal use the term Chasidus, it means to go lefnim mishuras hadin. Now, to do more than just the bare minimum. Spiritual, religious ambition. So the foundation of Chasidus, the foundation of being ambitious in Avodas Hashem, v'shoresh ha'avodah tamima, the root of a more wholesome, a more whole type of avoda, the Chasidus that we're dreaming of, the avoda tamima, the wholesome avoda that we're dreaming of, the root of it all, the foundation of it all, is she is barev yisameitzei saldem achavos ba'olam. To have clarity, well, what's my chiyuv, what's my obligation? Where should I be setting my sights? Like the sniper. Well, what's in my sights? What am I aiming at? Aiming what? All the energies of a lifetime. The amelus over the course of the days and years of my life, where am I trying to invest it? That was a lot of words. Sounded important. Well, what did he just say? What did it just mean? What he just said is, if we really want to build over time, it's not going to happen overnight, but if we have a dream over the course of months and years and decades in Mitzvah Hashem, of building something really special, constructing a real ambitious type of Avodas Hashem, we need a good foundation. The foundation is going to be to have some clarity with some pretty key questions. Why am I here? Before we can get started with the step-by-step, we got to spend some time asking, why Kadosh Baruch Hu put me here? And I have to ask the big questions first. And that's what Perek Aleph is going to be about, is thinking about the big questions. Why am I here? What's the point of life? What's the point of me? And once we start thinking about that, those big questions, then we'll be in a position to really grow. Now, we're not going to do this all the time, because it's something I want to do in this first sentence of the first parak. You know, there are a number of lines that are quoted from the Vilna Gaon about the Ramchal and about Mesillas Yesharim in particular. We have a letter that was written in Vilna Gaon's most famous Talmud, Rabbi Chaim Mivolozhin, and when there was a publisher who was publishing one of the Ramchal Svarim, the publisher, I believe it was Derech Hashem, the publisher had a connection with Rabbi Chaim Mivolozhin's nephew. So he said, I'm going to publish a Sefer of the Ramchal, your nephew of Rabbi Chaim Mivolozhin, your nephew of the most famous Talmud of Vilna Gaon, to tell me something that I could put at the front of the Sefer. Give me a nice intro. So we have a Haskama that he wrote. It's very fascinating. He says what he heard from his uncle about the Vilna Gaon's take on the Ramchal. And that's one of the major sources for what are the Gra things on the Ramchal. It's in that letter that the famous line, the Gra lived in the end of the 1700s. He said, if Ramchal had passed away a couple decades earlier, he says, Ramchal was still alive, I would have walked by foot from Vilna to Padua just to learn directly at the feet of the Ramchal. I believe it's also in that letter where he describes that the day that one of the Ramchal's Sfarim arrived in Vilna, the Idra Rabba, one of the Ramchal's major Kabbalah Sfarim, the Vilna goes in the middle of the week. The Vilna go and put on a big day Shabbos to go greet the Sefer. The Ramchal had passed away. But the Sefer arrived. This Sefer arrived in Vilna the first time. The Gra put on his Shabbos Tikka Kapata to go out and meet the Sefer. That was a type of Haracha. That was the regard in which the Vilna Gaon held the Ramchal. The Vilna Gaon was an Ishemes. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. So they say the name of the Vilna Gaon. I believe this is also in that letter. They say the Vilna Gaon had said then the first 12 Prakim Masil Shisharim, there isn't an extra word. The first 12 Prakim. And the Vilna Gaon, if you've ever learned the Gra in Shulchan Aruch, you know that the Vilna Gaon knew what it meant to not have extra words. The Vilna Gaon is known for being super, super concise. He will not write 5 words if he could write 4. He's trying to keep Torah Shebaal Peh as Baal Peh as possible. Cut out the Bichsav as much as possible. So he knew what it meant to be as few words as possible. He wrote in the first 12 Prakim Masil Sharm, there are no excess words. So we're not going to do this all the time. But in the first sentence of the first parak, you got to ask ourselves, there are a lot of pairs of terms here. What do they mean? And this is the opening sentence. 3 pairs of terms. Let's look at this sentence carefully. Yesod HaChasidus, the Shorash HaAvoda Tumi. That's the first pair. The foundation of Chasidus, the root of a whole Avoda. This sounds like a lot of flowery language. What does it all mean? And then the second pair is Sheyizbarer V'Yisameis Eitzal Adam. It should become Borer and Emes to a person. Well, those also sound like the same thing. To be clear, to be true, isn't it? I should have clarity. I should understand. So again, what's with the double language? And finally, the third pair is clarity about what? Machovaso Bolamo. That's basically the name of the chapter, the title of the chapter. Chovas Ad Bolamo. What's my responsibility? What's my obligation in this world? Ulmatzor Shiyasim Abato Magamaso B'Cholasher Hu Amel Kol Mechayav. Where should I be setting my sights? Where should I be aiming the energies, the amelus of a lifetime? Well, what's my obligation on this planet? And where should I be aiming myself? Also sounds like the same thing. So 3 pairs. Yisod HaChasidus v'Shor HaShavot. So that's pair number 1. Yisbarer v'Yisameis. Pair number 2. Pair number 3 is Chovas Adam Bolamo. And where am I focusing my energies? What's with these 3 pairs? Let's work backwards. The last pair, sort of the pair of questions that I'm thinking about, they do sound more or less the same. They're definitely related, but one is in theory, and I think one is in practice. Ma chavasa ba'olamo. What's expected of me? Why am I here? So that's sort of the concept. Why am I here? Why did Hashem put me here? So that's sort of the theory. And then once I have clarity on that, so then I can act on it. So where am I focusing my energies? How am I investing? How am I aiming the energies of a lifetime? So that's Hashem's business and my business. The question about God is, why did he put me here? And the lemaisa of that, for me, is once I have clarity why I'm here, so how do I plan to spend my life? I'm going to spend my life doing what? Okay. So the third pair is the pair of questions. Is one is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, why did Hashem put me here? And the other one is the Lamaisa from my perspective. How should I, towards what am I spending my life? Working backwards to the middle pair. Sheyiz Barer V'Yis Ameis. The answers to these pretty important questions, why am I here? How should I spend my life? The answers to these questions have become Borer and Emes. What's the difference between Borer and Emes? What's the difference between Borer and Emes? So I'm not sure, but here's my thought. Borer means clear. That's like in my brain. I should have clarity. These are big questions. Well, why did God put me here? We're going to have to start getting to some answers, as we're going to see. Ramchal actually has a pretty radically surprising answer. We'll get to his answers. But whatever those answers are, to figure out, well, why am I here? What was God's plan in creating human beings in general, and me in particular? And how should I therefore spend my life? Well, I got to have beer about that. Like clarity, like in my head. I have to have the clear answer. So clarity is in my brain. How about MS? It translates the word MS. So you usually translate the word MS as truth. I once heard B'Shem Rabbi Tursky, I think I heard this on a recording from Rabbi Meir Tursky. He was just reading and translating a Rambam, but I was absolutely struck by the way, translate one word. It's a Rama, the very, very beginning of Mishnah Torah. Beginning of Yesod HaTorah, where he's... the Rambam is laying out some of the basics of what we believe about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We believe in a being, a single, unique being, who has no body, has no physical form, and he is the Borei Olam. He's the creator of the universe. He created everything, physical, spiritual. And the Rambam says that the existence of all other things depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the creator and we're all creatures. So we all exist only because he wills us to exist. So our existence depends on him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's independent. His existence doesn't depend on anything. So the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, Ein amitaso kamitas achad mehem. His MS is not like the MS of any creature. Halacha Dalad. Ein la'acher MS kamito. Hu levado MS. Hashem alone is MS. No, nothing else is MS like his MS. What does that mean? No one else is true? I'm false? Like, I hate to translate that. So Rabbi Chorsky just sort of very nonchalantly, so it seemed, translated as, nothing is quite as real. Nothing's reality is like the reality of God. I'm real, you're real, we exist. This table over here, this bench exists, this computer screen, and the webcam, they exist. That's why I see you and you see me. But they're not as real as Hashem. Sometimes we make the mistake, the Rambam writes elsewhere, of assuming like, this desk, I could knock on it, I could feel it, I can make noise with it. That's like, it's tangible, it's real. Hashem, you know, he exists also, but I can't feel him, I can't touch him, I can't see him. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking if I can't sense it, it's not as real. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, God is much more real than you and I. His existence is much more real because he exists for sure. And we all depend on him. Coming back to Maseilas Yesharim, one of the things I drew from that line of Raitorsky, that the word MS doesn't necessarily translate as true. MS means real. I mean, if I say a statement is true, it means it corresponds to reality. If I say it's snowing outside, well, that's true if really it is snowing outside. Well, if you're in Bergenfield, it's snowing outside. If you're in Teaneck, it's snowing outside also. So something is true because it corresponds to reality. If I say the sun is shining outside, well, that's false because it doesn't correspond to reality. MS means real. So now let's bring it back. The Ramchal is saying that the answers to these questions have to be borer and emes. I mean, borer and emes. Borer means it has to be clear. Like in my brain, I have an answer to the question. That's borer. What does it mean that these things should be emes? I think that means that the answer should be real to me. Like in the kishkas. Not just that I know the answers in my head. That's step number one. If I just know the answer in my head, that's nice. But life is going to be based on when it goes from my head to my kishkas. When I feel, when this is metzias, when this is emes, okay. But finally, let's go back to the first pair. And I have to share with you an amazing insight from Rav Volba. Sheyis barer v'yis ames. Sorry. Yisod ha-chasidus v'shorish ha-avodah tmima. It says, thinking about these big questions of why am I here and why did God create me and what am I supposed to do, and having both birur and emes, having sort of an intellectual understanding, but beyond the intellectual, that the answer is actually in my kishkas. This is really important, the answers to these questions, because they are the yesod of chasidus and the shoresh of avodah tamima. Frecht Rav Volba, well, what's with yesod and shoresh? What's a yesod and what's a shorosh? A foundation and a root. Well, they're sort of the same thing, right? The foundation is the foundation of a building, and the root is the root of a tree. And they're both like, you know, the part you don't actually see once it's built or once it's growing. It's a part that's under the ground. It's not necessarily the prettiest, but it's obviously the most important because the stability of the whole beautiful building, the stability of the whole gorgeous tree, it all depends on the what's going on below the ground, the foundation of the building, the root of the tree. So they're parallel. So why do you have to say Yesod and Shoresh, foundation and root? Just because they want to have Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's true the first four words are Yesod HaChasidus V'Shoresh HaVoda Yud Kei Vav Kei. Like the Rambam, the Mishnah Torah also starts with Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay, there are other ways to get Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why do you have to have Yesod and Shoresh? They seem like the same thing. Again, just the Yesod of the building is like the Shoresh of the tree. So Rav Volba, there's a skinny sefer that probably many of us own. The title of the sefer is based on this question, because the sefer is called Zriya Ubinyan Bechinuch, planting and building in Chinuch, planting and building. Because Rav Volba says, you know what Ramchal is teaching me? The opening line of the first parak. We're talking about growth. How to grow oneself, or how to help one's children or one's talmidim grow. I can mechanech others, I also need to be mechanech myself for a lifetime. The very first thing the Ramachal tells me, Yesod, Shoresh, is understand, we're talking about the beginning, the root, the foundation of what process? Well, it's a process of building and a process of planting, which is why we talk about the foundation of the building, but also the root of a tree. It's such a listen to the following insight. He says, because we're nearing the end of this Vod, but I want to leave you with this fantastic insight from Rav Volba, and then I'll leave you with a question to ponder for next time. Rav Volba says, when I help others to grow, mechanech children, mechanech talmidim, I'm mechanech myself. Sometimes people make the mistake of only planting or only building. Right? I could just build. You know, how do you build a building? So you have the blueprint, and there are a lot of right angles, a lot of neat lines, and this goes here and that goes there, and brick and the plumbing goes here and the electrical goes there, and everything has its place exactly to plan. So sometimes people think like that's how I'll be mechanech a child also. That's how I'm mechanech a talmid. That's how I'm mechanech myself. We can have a blueprint, and everything needs to be exactly like this. If you are mechanech a child through just a construction process, you will end up with a robot. Some people go the other extreme. And it's all just organic growth. This is that allow for just self-expression. Zriya, just planting, just shoresh. But you have that, this is going to be a para adam. It says Rav Volba, the very first lesson in Perek Aleph, is that the growth of a human, healthy growth of a human being as an Eved Hashem, has to be a balance of Zriya and Binyan. Like when you plant tomatoes. When you plant tomatoes, obviously you want the tomatoes to grow. That's going to be a growth process. But if you never don't put in any stakes, the vines are just going to roll around on the ground, and the plant's never going to go anywhere. You're not going to have a lot of tomatoes. You want the internal growth of the tomato plant itself, but you put in stakes and a framework for growth so that the vines can grow along the guide of that system. But it's not just, you're not building with bricks. You're giving a framework for the balancing the binyan and the zriya. You have a framework around which the internal growth can happen in the best way possible. A balance of planting and building, of shoresh and Yesod. Zriya Ubinyan Bechinuch. That's the opening message of the first parak of Maseiach Yesharim. What we're looking for is to give structure, to provide the structure that will allow your and my and his and her own inner self to fully express itself outside of Yosar Tov. A balance of planting and building. So again, now let's put all the pieces together. He finally finished the first sentence of Maseiach Yesharim. And as I said, don't worry, we're not going to learn. We will typically learn more than one sentence over the course of the Vod. But the first sentence of the first parak required special care. And now let's put all the pieces together. So he says, hey, look at Eden. We're about to start thinking about how a Jew grows. Understand that this is going to be a blend of a planting and a building. We'll have structure, and that structure will allow for each person's own pnimius to express itself. And how does that start? That sounds like a beautiful thing. We have prakim about it. But the beginning of that planting and building, the yisod, the shorish, has to, before he gets to the zahiris and zrizis and all the stories of the first floor, the second floor, the third floor, it all begins with a solid foundation, with it being rooted and having both clarity in my brain and reality in my kishkas about the answers to a pair of pretty key questions. Why did God create me? Why did he put me here? And how therefore should I be spending and aiming the energies of a lifetime? Okay, so that's where it's all going to begin. And that's why in Perek Beis we'll begin talking about step one, Zeris. But Perek Aleph is the foundation. Let's talk about the big questions, because the big questions have to come first. Okay, so Richard, next time we'll get to the answers. But I will tell you that the first line of the answer is pretty surprising. Because if, you know, you're asking like a rabbi, you know, what's the point of life? You expect to hear something like religious, like you should do mitzvahs, olam haba, you know, something like that. So it's pretty surprising when you ask a rabbi, the Ramchal, not an old man with a long white beard. He was never zochet to be an old man, and he was clean-shaven. That's part of why he got kicked across Europe. But a very, very, very holy rabbi says, the purpose of life is to have a good time. He says, Chazal teach us that God created us to have an amazing time. Pleasure. God created us to maximize our pleasure. Now that sounds like an invitation to hedonism. Is anything but. This is the beginning of a sefer on ambition and avos Hashem. But the root of it all is knowing that Kadosh Baruch Hu created us to have pleasure and to maximize our pleasure. Apparently, there's a lot to learn in terms of where the greatest pleasure lies. And the greatest pleasure actually does not lie in just unfettered, undisciplined hedonism. Ironically, the greatest pleasure is going to lie in a rich path of growth of Avos Hashem. How that makes any sense is what we're going to begin to take a look at in Mitzvah Hashem next time. I will say thank you so much for joining.